Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. Now, the Singapore government announced the budget February 16th, a new fiscal package worth $11 billion included to support COVID vaccination efforts and economic segments hit hard in the pandemic. And speaking on a live television program after the announcement, Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat addressed questions on this year's budget. To find out more, we're joined by Chu Yun Ting, who's a journalist at The Straits Times. So DPM Heng noted that Singapore has a good chance of balancing its budget during this term of government if economic recovery goes as expected. How will that be done? Do we know?
I mean, of course, Singapore is running a budget deficit again this year. It's projected $11 billion deficit for this year. And this comes after last year's $64.9 billion, or 13.9% of GDP last year. So, I mean, over the next few years, of course, the target for this government is to get back to a balanced budget. And starting, Mr. Heng has said on several occasions that, you know, while we have the privilege of drawing on past reserves, this really can't be done beyond this crisis. So given that Singapore's recurrent spending will and has to go up, you know, of course, like healthcare spending, it's actually increasing. I think like the MOH budget is actually like the highest among all the ministries this year.
Yeah.
You know, healthcare spending is going to be a major part going forward since Singapore's population is aging. And so, of course, the government is looking at how it can raise its revenues required as, you know, it looks to get back to a balanced budget. So that's where things like, you know, the GST hike will come in. But, you know, of course, there's that $6 billion assurance package, which has been announced last year, you know, to help cushion the impact when the GST hike does come in.
Tell us more, though. The GST hike, Deputy Prime Minister Heng said, will take place between 22 and 25. You said sooner rather than later, also is what he said. What else did he talk about in that television interview with regard to the GST hike?
Taking us back to, you know, what the GST hike is about, is going to go up from 7% to 9%, right?
Yeah.
So I think last week in Parliament, Mr. Heng had also mentioned that, you know, based on past collections, the foreigners residing in Singapore, as well as tourists and the top 20% of resident households here, they actually account for over 60% of the net GST borne by households and individuals. Given that, you know, moving forward, even though the GST hike is going to come up, there's always also this package that I mentioned, you know, this will come through cash payouts of between 700 and 1600 over 5 years. And so this is equivalent to not paying the GST hike for about 10 years for the lowest 20% of households. And also about so it's going to be about 5 years for the average household. But I think on Sunday, he also stressed that, you know, one very key factor in managing the GST hike and the impact on people is really to kind of ensure that Singapore has continued economic growth and to ensure that workers stay employed and have wage growth. So that would kind of help to manage the impact of the GST hike.
And it's also to help the lower income bracket of our fellow citizens, right? Alluding to Singapore's progressive system of taxes and benefits, how does it fit in the GST? Tell us more about what DPM Heng talked about with regard to Singapore's progressive system of taxes and benefits.
On Sunday, he did highlight that, you know, even though the GST is often seen as a regressive tax, so but if you take into account, you know, besides what is being paid in taxes, you should also look at the benefits that people receive. So, I mean, of course, you mentioned about how like the kind of like GST vouchers that lower income households get. So in 2020, I think, for example, the top 20% of Singaporean households, they paid 56% of taxes, but they received only about 11% of benefits. While if you look at the lowest 20% of households, they paid about 9% of taxes and received 27% of the benefits. So support is still very much tilted to those which have greater needs. I think this is a part of how like, you know, Singapore's progressive tax system works.
Yunting, you know how anecdotally people talk about, if I can't feed myself, what do I care about the environment? But it was mentioned Singapore has some green ambitions, but there needs to be support for businesses and workers at the same time as well. What else do we know?
Speaking about the businesses and workers first, right? So I think he mentioned about the $24 billion, which has been committed for over the next 3 years. So this is really to accelerate the business transformation. So I think this is going to kind of really help benefit the firms and workers, you know, in terms of training and all that. And I think one key part of the support to businesses is to ensure that hiring continues, right? If firms are able to hire, this also benefits them in their growth trajectory. And, you know, for workers, of course, you want to ensure that there are always job opportunities for our local workforce. I think one very key point was that even though know, Singapore's expecting economic recovery this year. He mentioned that, you know, if the situation does get worse and if it calls for it, the government is prepared to kind of react and step in to provide help if needed, right?
And he was also being optimistic and hoping that this might be the only budget that he has to announce.
Yeah, I mean, after five budgets last year, I think everyone's hoping that it's just this one budget this year that's required. And you mentioned the thing about the green ambitions, right? So, of course, Singapore has this 30 by 30 food security ambitions, right? And so, I mean, with the green economy, there's going to be new job opportunities. And so I think what the panelists actually had a question about how the green economy is one thing, but how do we make sure that our workers are able to take up the jobs that are available as a result of this new green economy? So he did mention that there will be support for training opportunities. You know, do we want to make sure that our workforce is properly equipped and able to capture the kind of benefits that the green economy comes with?
Were there other key points that stood out for you, Yuen Ting?
Yeah, so actually I think there's this one part about mental wellness for workers. I think one of the panelists actually mentioned that, you know, especially during COVID, the issue of mental wellness really came to fore. And so DPM did mention that, you know, it's not just from one stakeholder's perspective, it's about making sure that employers take that into consideration as well. So I think it's a great effort because there's a lot that can be done for mental wellness in our society. And of course, our workforce is one very big part of that. And if we can get some progress in that area, then that's going to benefit everyone.
Chu Yuen Ting is a journalist at The Straits Times. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.